In this episode, I'm going to talk to you about the limits of AI technology. Hey everyone, this is Zane Raza from the Upstarts Podcast. Thank you for joining me again for the show that we talk about AI technology, what it can mean for you, what it can mean for the future. Before I get into the meat and bones of this episode, meat and potatoes, I really want to give a shout out real quick to Suraj Raval on YouTube. I've been listening and watching to a bunch of his videos right as of lately. A lot of great content. He's a great source for me personally. That's where I get a lot of my information for this podcast. So, and he actually has a video called Three Limits of Artificial Intelligence, which was the inspiration for this video, for this episode of the podcast. So if you want to check him out for more detail, he goes into a lot more of it. He's a self-made guy. Really respect the work that he's doing. But today, I really want to go deep on one of the topics that he talked about in his video, and that was the fact that AI, as we know today, does not really have this thing, and it's called causal reasoning. I'm going to get into a little bit of psychology with you right now. And I'm not going to make it too complicated, but essentially what the kind of AI that we have, let's get right into it. It's not based on real conceptual understanding, right? The way that you and I think, and it really is, it in some ways it can be irrational, it can be like it can get the best of us sometimes, but we make narratives. We can see cause and effect. We can see, and but it's also a good thing. We can see when things do not have a cause and effect. As an example, a lot of things that you hear in like a statistics class or a probability thing that you have ever picked up is correlation does not always equal causation. Human beings are pretty good at contextualizing those types of scenarios. However, AI is unfortunately not, as we know today. And that's the thing that is one of the limits. So, say, for example, AI is really good at making predictions based on different associations. So say maybe, for example, one use case would be Facebook could be using an AI algorithm to figure out the probability that you are going to stay on their website for, they say, the next 6 months. And they do that by taking a lot of different data points on you that are, or that I guess, are correlated with each other. They're associated, and they by whatever machine learning that they've done, they have associated those correlations, say, by how many people that you have liked, how many people that follow you, how frequently that you post, these different things that they can show correlations and make the predictions that you're going to stick around on their website. So that's very good for the future. That's very good for making probabilistic decisions, things where there really isn't certainty, and you know, you don't know enough about the person to build a narrative about them. But there are different other types of situations. There's so many other ways where causal reasoning is effective, right? So if we ever want, like, and this can get, I don't want this to be a creepy episode, but if we ever say want AI, like, companions, for example. I'm not talking about like necessarily like the movie Her, for example, but even if you're just talking about like an AI consultant for a doctor, doctors have to make tons of causal relationships. It's making narratives about not just the future and predicting off of that, but causal relationships between events, between different variables, between different causations. Those are, like, you're going back. You're going back in the past to see, like, what happened here, and then how did it cause this thing that's happening right now. That can also help inform the future, but, you know, I don't think AI today has the possibility of learning from, like, history, for example. Like, what happened, well, technically in some ways it could, some ways it couldn't, but you know, you couldn't use AI to explain the psychology of racism, for example, at a deep conceptual level. With that said, I want to go into a little bit more, because Suraj Raval went into deep detail on this, and I want to also help you learn this. So I'm going to scratch the detail of just a few other examples where we have adversarial networks. Right, you have like And I've talked about this before briefly, but just to revisit this, because it's so important, you think about all the image classification algorithms that we have today, right? They have to be trained on different types of pixels and different types of images. However, they can be tricked because the AI does not read the pictures for what they actually are. They're machines. They don't look at them the way you and I look at them. They look at them as pixels, right? They convert them to pixels. And it's a bunch of numbers, and therefore, it's very easy to throw them off because they're not associating those images with a deeper concept. They don't know that a panda is a panda because of its ears. They've just seen that label of a panda, it works well when it pleases the humans, essentially, when you label that thing with black eyes and white fur and those big ears with something called a panda. The problem arises when somebody can easily just change a pixel. And in a way that it's so subtle that you and I could not notice it. The human eye isn't able to see those subtle 0.005 changes to a pixel on an image. However, that can be enough to make, say for example, a self-driving car to then mistake an image of a stop sign for a yield sign. And we all know how badly those stories can go. The good thing is there are things that are actually working to fight this actual issue. There are these things called adversarial training, where you will basically, the deep learning networks that we have today, people are working on ways to train them on those types of examples. And it's a great field to go into. It's important work. If you're an AI engineer, if you're thinking of getting, I would commend anyone that goes into it, definitely. And then you're training on those examples so that AI becomes more resilient to being tricked. And then, of course, there's always research on how to go beyond just the algorithms themselves to build general intelligence. But that's a long shot. That's where the billion-dollar question is. How do we make real intelligent beings in artificially? The third area that Chiraj talked about and I want to share with you today on the limits of artificial intelligence is this lack of explainability, right? It's very scary when we are trusting, or that the fact that we want to trust these things is maybe not the fact that we want to trust them, but we're trying to get them to trust. We're trying to get AI to be trustable, right? We want to be able to trust the AI with so many more serious decisions, like can help doctors again, as I said before, or credit card systems, or even a college admissions test or a college admissions group can use the AI. So many different things, decisions that, for humans is good because we have we can quickly get confused by all the optimizations that we would have to do without the AI. Do I really care? Say even in your own life when you're making a meal, do I really want to, set this person's plate next to this other person? Oh, but if I do that, then, you're accounting for a lot of different variables. Now I'm going to have to sit near the sun and I'm going to get sunburned. I don't know. You can pick for yourself just how many decisions that you have to make in those variables. But AI is great at that. However, the other thing is AI is bad at explaining it to us, right? Because it's made up of ones and zeros. And humans don't understand ones and zeros. Humans look at that, and this is where you get the term black box. This is where you get the term that it's just, it's magic. And it shouldn't be magic. Because, for example, if this is someone's credit history, and in your bank, and there are tons of laws, there are tons of regulations. Poland just passed a law recently, I think a couple of months back, maybe even as recent as May of this year, where if a bank does something that negatively impacts your credit score, and I think that'd be a great system to have in the U.S., you have to be able to explain that, you know, and at the state that we are right now, an AI algorithm would be great at that task, except that it really can't. You can't go that deep into the deep computation and math and exactly pinpoint, yeah, this is the decision that made us go with this thing. So being able to explain itself, that's one thing that is a huge concern for AI, and really just for, like, even if you think about using it for science, like, that's one of the key things, being able to explain yourself. And if we want to do that, like, I've been talking a lot on this podcast about using AI for research, that is the other issue. However, the science never stops, the research never stops. I just came here to inform you today, please look this stuff up. There's tons of, you know, people in the game, people like Jeff Hinton, who have been doing this since the 80s, you know, for decades, and it's always getting better. And if you start looking into it, I guarantee you're going to find the hope. I've been looking at, you know, like Google AI blogs. You can look at stuff like this. At the short-term level, it's all opportunity, right? Right now, good or bad, at least we're just talking about these ideas. I want you to know that this is an opportunity for anybody to get started and make a big impact. Just like, you know, Steve Jobs is with the mobile, or with the iPhone with Pixar. I'm just reading a great book right now by Ed Catmull called Creativity Inc. I think this is, I don't want to just rah-rah you, but these problems are opportunities. So with that said, I wish the best to you. You don't have to use technology, but I hope you keep staying informed. I hope you keep knowing that information is a service, not a product. This stuff is here to inspire you, and this content here is here to just share with you what I'm thinking, and I hope it can help you as well. And we'll see. We'll put it up to the future to decide if we all get enslaved by robots, or hey, in the short term, I think if we get the short term right, then the long term will just take care of itself, and we'll have a great civilization at the end of the day. With that said, please check out Siraj Raval's YouTube channel. Again, the great sweet resource for content. If you'd like to give me some thoughts on what you thought about this episode, please tweet me at ZaneRoz14 or at ZRoz_TheUpstart. With that said, thank you again for listening. I'll see you guys with a very special episode on Monday with a friend out in Seattle I'm about to connect with. Until then, see you guys next time. It's been Zane Rosa. God bless.